ask God for a blessing when I come every Sunday. And I can't wait to be here. And I got one this morning real quick I want to tell you about. How old is Drake, Tim? 3. I sat down beside Drake Lynn back there this morning. He said, "What's your name?" He's 3 years old. He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Jim." He said, "You Pastor Jim?" I said, "I sure am." He said, "Are you the one that baptizes?" I said, "I do." He said, "Are you baptizing anybody today?" I said, "Not that I know of right now." He said, "I like baptizers." Boy, that's why we're here. And to hear that from a 3-year-old boy, that's why we're here. Kingdom building. Kingdom building. And I'm telling you, if we get anything else mixed up, we just mixed up. Yeah. Thank you, Drake. Thank you to his parents, too. Even his grandparents. Well, one of them, anyway. Will you stand strong for God publicly? That's what we're talking about, being unshakable. We've been in this series of Daniel now for a long time, and we still got about another month to go. We talked about a lot of different tests in Daniel's life. We've been through about 7 or 8 of them. And at this point that we're talking about today, Daniel's an old man. He's 82. We started out when Daniel was 15. He was a POW. And he's seen several tests while he was a teenager, and some as middle age, and now he's 82. He has survived, not only survived, but he has thrived during all this time. Now he's on his third king, and you know, he started out with pagan kings. I'm talking about in a pagan world, in a pagan administration. Two different empires. This is all history. You can look it up. It was a Babylonian empire, then. Remember Darius overthrew it and it became a Persian empire. And Daniel was such an amazing man and a leader, a man of integrity, that every single leader wanted to keep him on. And usually when you get a new administration, you want to clear house, or the popular term today is drain the swamp. That's what they say today, is they want to drain the swamp. But Daniel kept getting rehired. But the neat thing about this is not only did he get rehired, he kept getting promoted. You know, he moved up and up and up. And so far Daniel's outlasted 2 Babylonian kings, and his new boss, where we're at today, is Darius the Mede. And Darius actually killed Daniel's previous boss, Belshazzar. And he ransacked the city of Babylon. He besieged it. I really like that word, besieged. Well, he besieged the city, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to keep Daniel." And remember, right before he killed Belshazzar, he had promoted Daniel. Belshazzar had promoted Daniel to the third most powerful man in the land. But it was right before he died, so he wasn't in power very long. But Daniel's still at the royal palace, and he keeps getting promoted. And my question in all this is, why? What makes this guy so unique? Why does he keep getting promoted at work? Because that's where he was at. You know, a Jewish, God-believing man in a pagan world. Why does he keep getting promoted? You know, who don't want to get promoted? Nobody goes to work on Monday morning and says, "I don't want to get promoted. I don't want to make progress." And so we're going to look at Daniel 6 today, and chapter 6, and we're going to find out why he keeps getting promoted, what makes him so unique. And if you're interested at all in getting promoted at work, I want you to pay attention to these next 3 verses that are in your outline, because these are the 3 main reasons that Daniel outlasted everybody else in his workplace. And I, as your pastor, want that to happen to you. I mean, he's 82 years old, and he still hasn't done his best work. He didn't do that until he actually got to about 85. He's not finished. I love about Daniel's, he doesn't believe in the word retirement. And by the way, I don't either, because it's not in the Bible. You may change jobs, and earlier in your life, you may have been paid to do good, and now you find yourself basically good for nothing and volunteering. But that's all right. But here's three reasons that Daniel kept getting promoted. Number one is this. Write this down. His professional competence made him stand out. This made him unique. His professional competence made him stand out. You know, it's clear that this guy's a gifted leader. But more than that, he's a learner. Daniel was a student. You know, and I told you last week, all leaders are learners. And the moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Daniel was a student of God's word. He was a student of people. He was a student of history. He was a student of culture. The Bible said he spent his entire life learning. He became wiser and wiser and wiser. If you make wisdom a goal or the goal of your life, there's no end to that one. There's just no end to that. Some careers peak pretty early. Did y'all know that? I was reading about him a couple of weeks ago. Do you know what the peak years of a female gymnast are? 17 to 18 years. That's it. You peaked out. That's why there's no gym classes for 25-year-olds. But the reason is, I mean, you lose your limber. What is it called? You ain't as limber anymore after about 17 or 18. Yeah, you ain't as limber anymore. And you know what the peak of an NFL football player is? 29 to 30. On average, that's their peak. I know there's some exceptions. I know I could probably still line up with the best of them. But I thought I'd bring that up since this is Super Bowl Sunday. I'm as good one time as I ever was. but 29 to 30 years old. Then after that, you're peaked. After that, you're just kind of done. It's over. But if you decide to be a man or a woman of wisdom, that just keeps growing and growing. There's no end to it. And so Daniel kept growing in competence. Look at the first verse, Daniel 6:3 at the top. Now Daniel so distinguished himself above all the other governors and administrators by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to put Daniel in charge of the entire kingdom. Now the king is Darius, and just to kind of let you know what's happening here, Darius had came in and reorganized the whole kingdom. When he took over, he divided everything up into 120 provinces, and he had an administrator over each province. Then he took three governors, and each governor was over 40 provinces. Daniel was one of those three governors. But then he planned on, Daniel had made himself stand out, that he was going to promote Daniel to be over those three governors because he'd done such a good job. Now he's 82 and he's getting another promotion because he grew in wisdom. He's a wise leader. He had professional competence. Professional competence. Now, some of you guys think professional competence is enough, but it's not. The second one may be more important. Number two, his personal character made him stand out. Professional competence will take you so far, and it'll take you real far. But to go really, really further, his personal character made him stand out, not just professional competence. Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel was a man of generosity. He was a man of humility. He was a man of godliness. He was a man of goodness. He was a man of kindness. He was a man of wisdom. Daniel 6:4 says this, when the administrators heard the news, they tried to find a reason to undermine Daniel and his work and accuse him of misconduct, but they were unable to do so. They could not find anything to say against him. He was honest. He was reliable. He was hardworking and incorruptible. He was never lazy or negligent in any task. No wonder he kept getting promoted. We don't know exactly why these guys didn't like Daniel. The best thing I can figure from what I've looked up is they probably didn't like him just because he was Jewish. The rest of them were different pagan people. But he was Jewish. And they didn't want a Jewish man being their boss. And so they started to try to, the Bible says, to undermine him. You might be in a work situation right now that there's people conspiring against you because of your faith, because you're a Christian. They don't really have a reason to not like you because you're a good person, but because of your faith, they just want you out, period. You may be there right now. That there are folks, you ever heard of office politics? That may be hitting you right now, and it may be just people trying to get to your office. People are scheming behind your back just to get your position. And this is what happened here. You know, they were jealous. And so they start looking for a way to trap him, but they couldn't find anything to say against him. What a testimony that they couldn't find anything. I don't know that you could say that about me. No, I know you couldn't say that about me. But these guys were looking for dirt and skeletons in his closet, and they couldn't find anything. His personal character made him stand out. Y'all heard me a few years ago talk to you guys. You want to be unfireable, you got to be likable. You know, if it comes down to letting go two or three people, and you don't have very good character, and they got to decide, guess what? If you ain't likable, you're gone. You can be confident all you want to, but if you ain't likable, you're gone. Somebody told me one time, well, he didn't want to fire you. If he didn't want to fire you, you'd still be there. You know, most important is number three. His public commitment to God made him stand out. This made him stand out. His public commitment to God. Daniel's very open about his faith. He's very public about his faith. He prays in the open. He talks to God in the open. You know, if you'll remember, he led his first king to faith in God, Nebuchadnezzar. You know, everybody knew where Daniel stood religiously. Everybody knew where Daniel stood in his faith, including his jealous co-worker. They knew where he stood. And Daniel 6:5 says this. His co-workers weren't dumb. His co-workers concluded, our only chance of finding any grounds to get rid of Daniel will be able to find something to accuse in his religious practices. You see, what they found is this guy is spotless. He is spotless. We need leaders like that in our community. We need leaders like that in our state. We need leaders like that in our national government. Some spotless leaders. We need them. We need them today. Well, let's look at this conspiracy I was telling you about. I hope I get to meet these guys one day, because they're just a bunch of suck-ups. Then these high officials, actually, I've met a lot of these guys. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, oh, King Darius, live forever. What a bunch of... Then all the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. For 30 days, king, if anybody prays to any other god besides you, they're to be cast in a den of lions. They're appealing to his ego. Then it says, now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. This was the conspiracy to trap Daniel, that the king make a law And see, once the king makes a law, in Persian law, it cannot be reversed. Even the king that wrote the law cannot reverse it. Y'all hear that? They wanted him to do that. And so these guys are kissing up to the king, and they're kind of stroking his ego. And in a moment of weakness, Darius says, why not? For 30 days. Now, here's law. Everybody is to pray to me and about me for the next 30 days. But the way I was looking at it, these guys are so desperate to get rid of Daniel that they conspired to pass a national law just to get rid of one guy. Just to get rid of one guy, Daniel, because he's a believer. One guy. Well, this is the conspiracy. How did Daniel respond to this new test? Now, here's the test. You got to stop praying. You got to stop praying to anyone else, and you only pray to Darius for 30 days. The way I see it, Daniel has several options. Here, I think I wrote down about six. Here's the first option I believe Daniel had. Was he could accept the law. He could accept this law, and he could just kind of fake pray for 30 days. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just pretend. Just kind of go with the flow, and I can just act like I'm cool with it. That's one option. He could have done that. The second option I put is he could have publicly protested the law with picket signs. He could have done that. But guess what? This wouldn't have done any good. You know why? This is not a democracy. See, in America, we can protest. We can picket. And we can change laws. But not in Persian law. It just can't happen. The third option that he had was he could have appealed privately to the king. I mean, the king liked him. He was planning to put him number two man in the kingdom. So he had a good rapport with the king. Remember, Darius had plans to promote him. And so he had a really good relationship with him. But remember Persian law, even the king couldn't reverse the law, even one that he had signed. Even the king. So that wasn't a good option either. He could have just stopped praying to God. He could have just stopped for 30 days. But that's not a good option at all, just to stop praying. The fifth option is he could have kept praying to God. He could have just done it in secret. And some of you are saying, well, Jim, that don't sound so bad. What's wrong with that? Well, then they won. They won. They wanted to embarrass him. They wanted to shame him. And if he resorted to praying to God in secret, then they won. His enemies won because he would have backed down off his faith. He prayed in public. He prayed before meals. He practiced his faith. He wasn't afraid of what someone else thought. Then the sixth option is this. Keep praying in public as he'd done all his life. That's his sixth option. Now, if you were Daniel, what would you do? Think about that. What would you do? Would you do the easiest? Would you do the most convenient? Would you do the safest? One that wouldn't get you thrown into the lion's den? How far are you willing to go for your faith? How far are you willing to stand for your faith? Will you stand for God publicly? You know, it's one thing to stand for God in church. Yeah, you know, and as we're in a group of believers, it's one thing to stand for him then. But what about when you're on a website? Or what about when you're on the job site? Or a practice field? Or in the community? Or at the party tonight? Will you stand for God publicly then? We stand for God on the golf course. You know, will you do that? Anybody can be a secret disciple. Anybody can do that. Well, let's look at Daniel's decision. And it's in verses 10 and 11. I think I put it in your outline. When Daniel learned that the new law had been signed, he went home and knelt down to pray as usual in his upstairs room with its windows wide open toward Jerusalem. You know why I found out that he wanted to pray toward Jerusalem? That's where he was from. That's why he prayed toward that way. Why he opened those windows. He prayed three times a day, just as he's always done his entire life, thanking and praising God. So Daniel's enemies went together to Daniel's house to catch him praying and asking for God's help. Why is this guy afraid, unafraid, to do this? He knows the law can't be changed. He knows the consequences and he'll be thrown into a lion's den. Why was Daniel unafraid to stand out and speak up for God at work? Why? That's a good question. Because I know a lot of Christians now who are afraid to stand up for God at work. I know a lot of Christians now who are afraid to pray before their meal out in public. I mean, I know a lot of them to speak about their faith. I know a lot. But why was he unafraid? I think he had three reasons that he always thought about. And I believe that you and I, if we are to be a more courageous person of faith, a more courageous person of God, that we're going to need to do these three things. So I want you to write them down real quick. We're winding up here. Is this. I think Daniel remembered that God was faithful in the past. Daniel remembered that God was faithful in the past. He had already been through seven or eight major tests. And he didn't back down from those tests. He stood for the truth. He stood publicly for God. And those kind of tests, you know, it seems like it's every time, will you stand publicly for God? That's what it seems like it is. I want to encourage you to do something. You don't have to do it every day, because I know most of you won't do it, and I don't do it every day. When you go through tests, journal it. Write it down so that next time you're going through a test, you can go back and see how God brought you through. Write it down. And write down the results. And so you can go back and see and help you remember. But it just seems like every test has this underlying tone of, will you stand publicly for God? You ever thought about that? It really does. And every time Daniel says, yep, or okie dokie in Arabic. But he has this habit of saying yes, and God took care of him every time. So when you begin to get afraid, just remember. Remember how he brought you through. Number two is this. This is real important. He had a conversation with God three times a day. He had a conversation with God three times a day. I love that the verse says, as usual. He went and prayed as usual. Because if you think about this, do you think if you prayed and you had a conversation with God three times a day, every day for 82 years, that you may be stronger in your faith? Think about that. You know, if you prayed every day, three times a day, for 82 years, is there any possibility that it would have an impact on your confidence? If you prayed three times a day for 82 years, you know, would you believe that you would be less insecure? If you prayed every day, three times a day, for 82 years, do you believe you would be less afraid of rejection? Rejection's a killer too, ain't it? If you prayed, write this down. It's just a silly little reminder, but write this down here. Because if you don't learn this, you've wasted your time this morning. The secret of standing strong is kneeling often. The secret of standing strong is kneeling often. Guys, the more that you and me kneel in prayer, the stronger we're going to stand when the heat's on. I'm telling you, this prayer thing is important. It's important. Three times a day. The third thing is this. He knew the rewards were greater than any risk. Is it risky to break a law? Yeah. I mean, will he be punished? Yep. Could be with his life. Could lose his life. But remember what Peter said to the Sanhedrin? We must obey God rather than men. When it comes down to it, we must obey God rather than men. This is important, and I want to tell you why. Because as America continues to change, there's some laws that one day that you and me as Christians are just not going to be able to abide by. just not going to be able to abide by. And you have to decide now, am I going to obey God or am I going to obey man? And we're not going to be able to hide. It says Daniel threw the windows open. As believers, we're going to have to decide, are we going to stand up and are we going to throw the windows open? So we're going to have to remember these three things. We have to remember that the reward of doing the right thing was greater than the risk. And I'll leave you with this, because it's the whole gist of thing we've been doing for 3 months. What I loved about Daniel, it says, when he heard the news, he went home, threw the windows open, and he prayed as usual. Daniel was not shaken. He was not shaken. He was not shaken. Next week, we're going to look at the benefits. But we're finished for today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for an opportunity that we have in these years to come to stand up for you. And I thank you for an opportunity as a pastor of North Point to teach obedience to you rather than man. I thank you for the life of Daniel. I look forward to meeting how he not only survived, but he thrived in a pagan world. That he didn't use the excuse that everybody is an unbeliever. I'm the only one in the office that's not. Nope. He had character. He was a man of wisdom. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of goodness, and they couldn't find nothing wrong with him. I pray that each and every individual here, that they began to shape their character, that folks won't be able to find any dirt on them, that folks won't be able to find any skeletons in the closet. And if they do, it's covered by the blood. It's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have been made new. I thank you for Drake's testimony, that he likes baptism. Lord, I love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.